Good morning. My name is Ralph Eide, and as Pastor Chuck said, I'm new to the pulpit, but not new to the Lord. I'm redeemed. I'm a sinner that's been saved by Him, by His grace. I think that most all of us, hopefully all of us here, are also in that same situation. So thank you for welcoming me. Please pardon me if I'm a little bit nervous, as I've never done this before. So first off, I would just want to start by lifting up a word of prayer to the Lord. Holy Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for bringing your people out to this place to worship you, to learn what you would have to say. I ask, Lord, that you would help me to speak your heart, to rightly divide your word, and to minister to those that are here so that they would be drawn closer to you. Their relationships would be founded more and more firmly upon you, Lord Jesus, our rock of salvation, and the faith of each person hearing my voice would grow. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you want to, if you've got a copy of God's Word in front of you, I'm going to be teaching out of the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 19 is going to be the focus, and I'll be teaching out of the New King James Version. So I'm going to start off just giving a little bit of context for this chapter. So back in chapter 18, we see Elijah had his mountaintop experience, quite literally, where there had been a drought for a number of years, 3.5 years, and King Ahab of Israel and Elijah, well, Ahab hated Elijah. He was a thorn in the side of the king of Israel. Israel was not serving the Lord. The kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, never had a righteous king. Okay. The prophets of Baal and Ashereth were challenged by Elijah to go to the mountaintop and make sacrifice to their gods and let the gods bring down fire and consume the sacrifice. The gods never showed up. Not a surprise, but Yahweh showed up. He consumed the sacrifice. Prophet Elijah saw in the distance a cloud coming. It was a rain cloud. He prayed 7 times to the Lord to bring the rain, and the rains came. But after the Lord consumed the sacrifice, Elijah then destroyed the prophets of Baal. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 of Ashereth, and he killed the prophets. Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was none too happy to see her prophets be destroyed by Elijah. And that's where we pick up in verse 1. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the full text, and then we'll go through a few verses at a time, and we'll talk about, you know, what's going on and what the Lord has certainly put on my heart to share with you. So in verse 1, we read that, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done." This was what he had done on the mountain. "Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, 'So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time.' And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. And he said, 'It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's.' Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals, and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for you, for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, and you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So, the topic that I'm really focused on here is whether or not we're hearing or listening. Are we hearing from the Lord? Are we listening to the Lord? Or are we hearing and listening to all the other voices that want to inundate us with messages, with words? What are these messages? What are the words? What is hearing? Seems pretty simple what hearing is, but I'm going to be a little bit redundant here, a little bit obvious. I know my wife sometimes refers to me as Captain Obvious, so I'm going to go down that road. Well, hearing is a physical response to an external stimuli. You know, there's background noises. I hear children in the background right now. It's a wonderful sound. Am I focused on that sound? Well, if I'm focused on that sound, that might be the start of listening. Okay, so that's an example of hearing. You know, traffic, maybe lectures or sermons. We might hear them, but are we listening? Well, what's listening? Well, I would argue that listening is the act of focusing upon what we hear and then taking action accordingly. So there's an action involved with listening. Educational circles, my wife is a teacher, she would say that it's active listening. She's shaking her head. Yes. So, I mean, an example of that, you know, can be really simple. Well, we hear a warning siren and we take precaution to stay in a safe room. I know where we live, we hear sirens. I think it's the first Tuesday of the month at like 10 o'clock, there's tornado sirens, you know, warning sirens. Well, if we hear those and it's not that time, maybe we're going to take action. We're going to pay attention. we heard something that requires us to take some action. You know, maybe we hear our child or our spouse ask us a question. We provide an answer. Maybe that answer is backed up with an action. You know, Jesus said if your child asks you for a fish, do you give him a scorpion or bread? Do you give him a rock? Maybe I've got that mixed up, but the idea is correct. No, we would take action. Maybe we hear our boss give us direction and we engage in the task required. Or we don't and we look for another job. You know, different aspects of listening. But what about distractions? Do we get distracted from listening? Well, there's a lot of different ways that we can be distracted. Distractions include anything that become a barrier to either hearing or listening. An example would be a physiological distraction. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're tired. When your body is giving you messages, you are going to tend to listen to your body more than anything else. Maybe that's not what we need to do, but it's what's natural in our body to do. Maybe our emotions or our attitudes. Our state of mind can influence our reaction to what we hear and the ability to hear what's being said, especially if we put up a resistance or a wall to the topic. I'll put up a wall of resistance to a topic when someone is speaking to me and proclaiming a lie to be the truth. I'll start to shut down. I won't receive what they're speaking to me. The way in which I do that can either honor God or not honor God. If I respect the person and then speak truth, I can honor God. If I disrespect the person and shout truth, well, I would argue that I'm not honoring God in that situation because I'm not loving. As Jesus said, you know, we need to, I think maybe it was Paul that said, we need to love in all times. In everything we do, we need to do it with love. No, that's also, no, that's probably 1 John. So, anyways, well, what was Elijah's reaction to the message from Jezebel? There he is. That's a victorious time, that mountaintop experience. The rain came after the droughts. The prophets were killed. The Lord showed himself mighty. What does Elijah do? Well, part of chapter 18, Elijah ran about 14 miles to Jezreel, and he beat Ahab there as Ahab was traveling through the mud and the storm, trying to race to get to safety. Elijah ran there first. Well, after that, what happened? Well, after the Lord used Elijah in that mighty way, demonstrating that the Baals and the priests of Ahab, the priests of the Baals, they had no power. They were not gods. If we look at verse 1, we'll go back to that. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Now Jezebel sent that messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as like the one of them by tomorrow about this time. So there's a pretty clear threat. Jezebel saying, I'm going to kill you. You're toast. You're dead. Now that's all there is to it. And when he saw that, he arose, he ran for his life. He went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. So he went to Judah. Now, he's in the kingdom of Israel, and he went down to Judah. He went to the other kingdom. Okay. But he himself, in verse 4, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. It is enough now, Lord, take my life. I am no better than my fathers. That reminds me of Job sitting and praying and saying, just let me die. You've killed this plant that you provided for shade. Just let me die. You know, you provided deliverance, just let me die. Well, here's Elijah basically saying the same thing. Just let me die. When Elijah heard, he listened, and he took action. But what voice was he listening to? He was listening to the voice of a servant of the enemy, Satan. For Jezebel was in opposition to the working and the will of God. Jezebel, through her husband, King Ahab, had led the people of Israel to worship the Baals. Elijah allowed his fear to take command of him. The Apostle Paul, while encouraging Timothy to use the gifts the Lord had given him, lets us know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. You don't have to turn here, but if you want to, you can. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, we read that, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Elijah doesn't look like he's operating under the power and love and sound mind at this time as he's running from Mount Carmel down towards Mount Horeb. Sounds like he's running completely in the spirit of fear. Sounds like he's consumed by his emotions. He's not listening to the Lord at this time. Going back to 1 Kings, picking up in verse 5, chapter 19. "Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Then he looked and lay there, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, 'Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you.' So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God." Now, this is pretty amazing. This is akin to the miracle that the Lord performed as Moses was out on Mount Sinai, 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain. The Lord provided him no food, no drink. The Lord is doing it again here with Elijah, 40 days and 40 nights in a journey. You know, these journeys weren't journeys that were easy journeys, traveling long distances without necessarily being on nicely paved roads, driving in vehicles. This was a journey by foot through the wilderness. But if we notice here, we also see the angel of the Lord came back a second time. The angel of the Lord was there the first time, provided food, hot baked bread, cake baked on coals. Where else do we see cake or bread baked on coals? Well, we see that with Jesus as he receives the disciples at the shores of Galilee, providing food. Here the angel of the Lord did the same thing. Pretty miraculous. Well, Elijah listened to the angel of the Lord. He ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the Lord on his journey. Picking up in verse 9. "And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Elijah wasn't doing anything. At this point, he was not being useful to the Lord, nor was he serving the purpose for which the Lord had called him. Elijah was running on fear, still consumed by the words of Jezebel instead of being consumed and refined by the fire of God. The power he had just witnessed through that fire that God had brought down from heaven to consume the sacrifice on top of Mount Carmel. Now, the Lord is a refining fire. He wants to refine us, to transform us into the image of Christ. He wants us to be his servants, his ambassadors, his ministers. not to be those that are consumed with fear. I mean, the Lord tells us that we're not to fear man that can take our life, but to fear the Maker, to fear Himself that can take our soul. Okay? A permanent situation. Everything here is temporary. We're just sojourners in this work, in this life. We've got a few brief moments, and then we're going to wither and fall away. But we're eternal. We were created in God's image. That means that we are eternal beings. As the moment we're born, we will never cease to exist. So in verse 10, now he responds. Elijah responds to the Lord. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Well, Elijah is focused on himself. He's not focused on the work that the Lord had been doing through him or the work that the Lord accomplished on Mount Carmel. He was speaking with the Lord, but still consumed with fear. But not a fear of the Lord, but a fear of what man, or in this case, the woman Jezebel, could do to him. In verse 11, we read, then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? In verse 13, the Lord repeats his question to Elijah. What are you doing here? Elijah did not give a satisfactory answer to the Lord the first time. The Lord repeats himself. Elijah was still not listening to the Lord. He was hearing the Lord, but he was still not listening to the Lord. Elijah heard the Lord in the still small voice, not being distracted by the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but was he listening? Well, Elijah responds this exact same way as before. The exact same way. Scripture, word for word. Well, the Lord gave Elijah multiple chances to focus upon him. Elijah failed the test. He heard the Lord, but did not listen to what the Lord was saying. The Lord was trying to get Elijah to recognize that he was not doing anything for the Lord by running away in fear of Jezebel. The consequences of his inattentiveness, I think I just messed that up, are seen in the following verses. Verse 14, and he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. In 15, then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Now, remember, Syria, they're an enemy to Israel. So he needs to go into the enemy's camp to anoint the next king over Syria. And in 16, also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. There's a few things going on right there. First, the Lord is still having Elijah do something, okay? He's got to kind of run this errand for the Lord. Anoint the next king of Syria. Anoint the next king of Israel. Anoint your replacement. Okay. So there's definitely, he's going to have to overcome some fear and rely upon the Lord to go to Syria, to go back to Israel. But his time is coming to an end here. Okay. His time of working for the Lord is coming to an end. The Lord had chosen a successor to Elijah in the person of Elisha. The Lord did not reject Elijah as a person. The time of his service was coming to the end. The Lord would take him up in a whirlwind. And as Elijah and Elisha were walking, we read, if you want to turn, you can, but the one verse in 2 Kings 2, verse 11. Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So, even though Elijah had operated in fear, that doesn't mean that the Lord rejected Elijah. Okay. It's really important to recognize that if I operate in fear, or if anybody operates in fear, the Lord is not rejecting us, okay? We can sin, we can fall into that place where we're having doubt, but the Lord is always there, just like the Father and the prodigal son, running to reach to us, to restore us back into a right relationship with him. No matter what we've ever done, he's always wanting to restore us into relationship with him. I am grateful of that, as he's restored me. So who are we listening to? Are we listening to the Spirit of the Lord as he speaks to us with the still small voice? Are we listening to the chatter of social media and news media in order to understand the world around us? Are we listening and acting upon the word of the Lord as he reveals himself through his Spirit and through his word, the Bible? That's who we need to be listening to. We need to be listening to the Spirit. Oftentimes, that might be in that still small voice. Maybe it'll be as we're reading our Bible and something pops out, jumps out at us. Maybe when we're hearing a sermon, we just hear something that resonates with us. Well, if it aligns with the rest of the scripture, that's more than likely the Lord speaking to you. That's how the Lord has definitely spoken to me many times. Something resonates with me. It aligns with the rest of scripture. Then I know that it's going to be from the Lord. If it doesn't align with the rest of scripture, nope, I'm not going to receive it. In Romans 10:17, Paul declares, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there is an interaction of faith that is affected by hearing the word of God, that is affected by reading the word of God. Now, I would argue that this hearing is not simply a passive hearing, that we can hear God's word in the background or read it and not think about it, not consider it, that it is actually listening. It's hearing and listening. It's paying attention. It's not passive. Passive is when something happens to you. Active is when you act upon something or take action yourself. So through God's word, our faith will be built up. Our faith will increase. And the glory will go to God and to his kingdom's increase. The action of our listening to God's word will be manifest through our faith. As James says regarding faith and what that is, with and without works in 2 verses 18. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Is our faith growing and being built up through the Word of God? Are our actions of love and good works demonstrating our faith to those around us? Who are we listening to? Is the Lord asking us, what are you doing here? Lord, I ask that we could answer the question, what are we doing here? In a way that honors and pleases you. I pray, Lord, that I and each person hearing my voice would be able to respond in ways that honor and please you, would be able to respond in ways that would bring you glory, that would bring you honor, that would see your kingdom increase, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to work in our lives so that we would be the men and the women that you created us to be, your ambassadors, Lord Jesus. I ask this in your Son Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you for the time that you allowed me to speak.
Thank you, brother. That was a good word. I had a little something I wanted to add to that a little bit just because I warned him I would do that. But he gave us the cake. I've got a little icing for the cake. He broke the bread for us, kind of like a little butter on the bread. Proverbs chapter 8, if you want to see something here, I'm just going to give a gist of this, not going to go too much. That was a good word. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1 says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So that the Lord shows us here, he's taking wisdom, his wisdom, and he's making it appear as a person. And it's he presents it as a woman here who is speaking and crying out. So we have this person that's speaking wisdom for whoever will listen. And I want to jump us down to verse 32 in that passage to just hit a couple of things here in verse 32 of Proverbs 8. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, and blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction. And be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord, but he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. So just a few things here. Notice the Lord says here in verse 32, listen. Verse 33, hear. Verse 34, listen. And the Lord's really impressing that on us, just like our brother was sharing with us, listening to the Lord and hearing what he says and then acting on it. But it's interesting, as I was thinking about this, I get the idea of kind of like we're supposed to, you know how sometimes you hear something and it kind of causes you to perk up your ears? You know, and it might be something like we said, it might be a baby crying all of a sudden really loud and kind of perks your ears up and you're looking like, what's going on? Might be a child or someone screaming, you know, just all of a sudden, and it causes your ears to perk up and you're looking around like, what's going on? I think the Lord wants us to to perk up our ears every time we have a chance to hear the Word of God, or every time it comes across to us somewhere, either radio, you know, on the, anything we're doing in ourselves with our, when we open the Word, just to have that desire to hear what God has to say and to perk our ears up. I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting, tomorrow morning we wake up, you know, we're thinking, we grab our Bible and think, man, what do you want to say to me today, Lord? Please perk my ears up. Help me to do that so I can really hear what you want to say. Because God wants to speak to us every single day. And I love what it says here, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post of my doors. It's kind of like the picture that comes to mind here is, you know, people, they will line up for things if it's something they really want to see or they want to go to a concert or some main event, you know. People just line up at the door and they can't wait for the doors to open. And I kind of get that picture here. We're watching daily at the gates, you know, where the Lord has wisdom he wants to share, waiting at the doorpost of the door. So you're lined up there waiting. There's nobody in line though when we come to the Lord. He's there for us whenever we want to speak to him, you know. And I'll just give this last part here at verse 35 where it says, whoever finds me, you know, so if you're seeking the Lord and you find the Lord, he finds life, he obtains favor from the Lord. That's awesome. I mean, we all want to live, right? People want to live. They want to have life. This goes further, I think, even to eternal life. But he said that person also not only finds life, but they obtain favor from the Lord. Who would not want that, to have the Lord's favor on you? And the statement in verse 36 is kind of interesting. I want to just throw this out there too. It says, he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. That word sins can actually be interpreted, misses me. Whoever misses me. And I think that fits better in the context. That's just my opinion here. Verse 35 says, whoever finds me. And then verse 36 would say, but whoever misses me. So I kind of see three people here that's mentioned in this. Verse 35, you got the person who has sought the Lord and has found the Lord. And they have found life. And those of us who know Christ, we know what that's like. We know that life that he has for us. At least our eternal life started the moment we received Christ. Also, we've obtained favor from the Lord. And the Lord's blessed us in ways that we can say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, for all that he's blessed us with. But in verse 36, here's a person who has missed the Lord. And the person who misses him says he wrongs his own soul. So I kind of see this as a person that, you know, the Lord is here speaking. He's given out his wisdom and they're walking right by. They're not paying attention. Their ears aren't perked up. They aren't listening, as our brother explained to us there. They may hear some noise. They just keep walking. It doesn't matter to them. That person who misses the Lord, he wrongs his own soul. He brought that on himself, that he doesn't have God's wisdom because he wasn't listening. Okay. The third person here is that last person in verse 36, all those who hate me. So there are people that not only just miss the Lord and happen to walk by, there are people who hate the Lord. They have their ears covered. They have their fingers in the air. They do not want to hear what the Lord has to say. For those people, the Lord says, you must love death because the Lord is the one who gives life. And if you don't want that, then the only thing left for that is death. Well, those are just a few words I wanted to throw out there to chew on. I don't mean to take anything away from what our brother said. He did a good job of presenting the word to us. I thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother, for bringing what the Lord laid on your heart. So as we close now, if there's anybody who doesn't know the Lord, if you've not listened to his word, he has offered eternal life to anyone and everyone who comes to Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He paid for our sins completely. God the Father raised him from the dead to prove he accepted his sacrifice for each of us. Doesn't matter how rough your life has been, how bad you've done, whatever wrong you've done in your life, it's covered by the blood of Christ. If you come to him, he can forgive and he can restore. And as our brother shared, God has a plan and a purpose for people's lives. He wants to use us for his glory, and we want to be used for his glory. There's rewards on the other side of that. So if you've never surrendered to Christ, I'd encourage you to do that today. If you know Jesus Christ already as your Lord and Savior, and you've never surrendered to Him completely and said, Lord, please fill me with Your Spirit, I pray today you would decide to do that and walk in His ways. Let's pray, guys. Father, we cannot thank You enough for Your word of truth. Father, I thank You for Ralph and the things You laid on his heart today and how he spoke the word just boldly, Lord, and he spoke the truth, and he spoke it in love. And we thank You for that, Lord. I pray You continue to bless Ralph and work in his life. And I know, Lord, You've already given him direction and guidance and where You want to take him. I pray, Lord, You work those things out. And any roadblock, I pray You would just take it out of the way. And Lord, we thank You for what You're going to do. We know You want Your word to go forth. And I thank You, You've called this servant to do that. Father, we praise You for what You speak to us today about hearing and listening. And I ask You to help us to do that. Help us, Lord, to perk up our ears. Help us to any time we hear the word of God, to just perk our ears open and say, Lord, please speak and let us hear. And we thank You for that too, Lord. So, Father, we give You praise for everything You're doing today and all You've done in our lives to this point. And, Father, we just want to thank You and give You all glory and praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen.